to surface from problems, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. The rich ruler. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit into eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these are kept to follow the boy," he said. When Jesus heard it, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for you to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Do you then think it's safe?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we have to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in any age to come, eternal life." Then the king is the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down and meet me. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And the third passage is from 1 Samuel. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God who is Israel."
Well, as I said, I've just come back from Lent camp, and it was a wonderful time of discipleship for young people. It was meant to be a children's and youth camp, but due to the kids coming every day, when the lockdown happened, they could no longer, they couldn't come anymore. And so we just became a small youth camp, effectively. So we've got a smaller number of youth. And it was a pretty good number, actually, and to be able to really speak very personally into their lives. And so that's where I've been, and it's a Christian camp that was designed to disciple young people in their faith. And so I was there. I went there Sunday evening and stayed there till Friday evening. And so because of like yesterday's also been all day first aid training, I decided that instead of trying to continue on with our normal thing on the teachings of Jesus and trying to just quickly put something together, I thought that what I would do instead is actually preach a message on something that I've been actually living in and around over the past week, which is the thing and the messages that we had over camp. And so this is going to be a little bit different, I suppose, this morning, putting this together. But I hope that you can enjoy what we were teaching the young people at this camp. And so I do hope that you enjoy this as something spiritual. But before I do that, I would just like to praise God. Because we were what appears to be very lucky to have the camp. Liz spent, I think, the first 3 or maybe even 4 days pretty much doing COVID stuff, working with Queensland Health to see if we could still be open, looking at all the different things. And God worked just amazing miracles so that we could remain there. And so, it's just an amazing thing that God allowed us to still be there and to continue that ministry that we were doing. Now, the theme over this camp was Narnia, and in particular, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is a children's book written by C.S. Lewis, which, of course, is a wonderful analogy to the Christian story. And so through the 4 main human characters, we looked at important elements of living out a Christian life. And the 4 main characters, human characters, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in the Chronicles of Narnia, is the 4 siblings of Lucy, Edmund, Susan, and Peter. With Lucy being the youngest, and then Edmund, and then Susan, and then Peter being the eldest. The 4 siblings find a different world that they can enter into by walking into a particular wardrobe. And this wardrobe kind of takes them into a different dimension. And here, in this place called Narnia, it is winter all the time because the evil white witch of Narnia has it under her spell. But of course, there is also a great lion called Aslan. And as we find out towards the end, Aslan is actually Jesus. He actually is Jesus. And there has been this prophecy in Narnia which states that when the daughters of Eve and the sons of Adam come to Narnia, the white witch will be defeated. Lucy was the first character we looked at. She is the first of the children to discover the doorway to Narnia. And as she goes through the doorway, after she was trying to hide in this cupboard in a game of hide and seek, she goes through and as she goes out into Narnia, the first person she meets is Mr. Thomas, who is a fawn. And for this case, it's not a baby deer, it is a half goat person's legs and a human sock. That's a fawn. And becomes Lucy's friend. Lucy sees the best in people, and she has this wonderful childlike attitude to right and wrong, and to people being treated fairly and justly. And when told about Aslan by Mr. Thomas, she believes in him, and she has this childlike faith in him, and also of the calling that she's told about that Aslan has for her life. Lucy has the greatest capacity for deeply loving people out of all her siblings. And when Aslan sacrifices his life to save Edmund, Lucy, most of all, cannot bring herself to leave his dead body. She clings to it. And Lucy is also the first person that Aslan chooses to show himself to after he rises back to life. A theme for Lucy is not being believed when she knows things to be true. As the youngest, she's not believed, but she still holds firmly to her faith. Through Lucy, we learn the importance of a childlike faith in Jesus. To believe in Jesus and what he says, to trust in Jesus and not to doubt him. Also, like Lucy, we should love God with all that we are, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. So we heard about the story of Elijah as well, as we looked at the story of Lucy. As Elijah stood up for God against the priests of Baal, standing up for what he knew to be true. And also Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, where the Bible speaks of God's desire for us to speak up and help those who can't speak for themselves. Yes, Lucy loves Aslan and wants to save everyone in Narnia from the Silver Wave. We too are given the responsibility to stand up for God, for His truth, and to love Him more than anything else, and to love the people around us, helping them out as God wants us to. Well, next we look at Susan. Susan is the oldest girl, and she's a little bit like the Martha to Lucy's Mary in Mary and Martha. Susan is the eldest girl, and acts like a mother to her brothers and sister when their mother isn't around. She takes responsibility for looking after the family. But her devotion to her family also sees her willing to forsake what is most important in order to try to just keep them safe. She is a part of the prophecy to save Narnia, and she knows this. And yet when faced with a situation which pits her desire to just keep her brothers and sisters safe, and pit against doing what Aslan has called her to do and be, not only does she choose to save her family and to try and go down that path, she also tries to influence her brother Peter to turn away from his calling that Aslan has placed on him. And so she's unwilling for them to be placed in any danger. She puts her sense of responsibility for her brother and sister before Aslan and his calling and purpose. So we looked at Mary and Martha, and how Martha was too busy with the worries and responsibilities to just sit with Jesus and to just enjoy Him. She was too worried about looking after everyone and everything. We also looked at the question of, can we give up those things which are of most importance to follow Jesus? And in Luke 18:18-30, we hear the story of the rich young ruler. This man comes to Jesus. He has seen something in Jesus which has drawn him and convinced him that if anyone knows what is required to receive eternal life, it is Jesus. But when Jesus responds to him, telling him that he needs to give up his wealth, he is unable to give it up, and he walks away. He couldn't give up what was most important to him, to follow Jesus. But the disciples, they have. And so the end of this story sees Jesus praising the disciples and telling them essentially that because they have given up their homes and families for the kingdom of God, they will receive much more in their eternal life in the age to come. So the little campers are challenged whether they would give up what is most important to them if they needed to in order to follow Christ. And this is still a very challenging thing, I think, for all of us to consider. Will we put Jesus first in our lives? Well, through Susan's encounter with Aslan, she changes and she starts to place Aslan and his calling on her life at the center of her life. And her care for her family becomes more of a care for all people. An intense caring for all people. The next character we looked at was Edmund. Edmund is a boy who doesn't like to be bossed around or told what to do. He is the middle child, the third, he's the second youngest, but he's the middle child, and he's desperate to be treated, he's desperate not to be treated like a kid. And he's jealous of his older brother, Peter. Edmund wants to be someone who is special and is willing to even befriend the White Witch, despite having been told by Lucy that the White Witch is evil. Edmund is selfish and foolish.
He betrays many people, including Aslan, either to benefit himself or to do what he thinks is best without much consideration for broader consequences. Aslan's foolishness gets him trapped by the White Witch's empty promises of a kingdom and a delicious Turkish delight. And this will see Aslan exchange his life for Edmund's life and die in his place. And this will free Edmund from the curse he brought on himself because of his sinful foolishness. But through this experience, Edmund becomes wise and changes dramatically to become a loyal leader for Aslan. He changes from someone who makes foolish choices to someone who makes wise decisions. As people, we all will make foolish decisions and go our own way from time to time, no matter how much we are trying to follow Jesus. We can even be deceived by all sorts of things. For Edmund, it was to be special and to be a king. It's what he wanted. For Zacchaeus, in our Bible reading from Luke 19:1-10, it was his wealth and selfish greed. Zacchaeus had lived a life making the foolish decision to cheat people of their money so that he could get rich from extorting them. However, when Zacchaeus encounters Jesus and his love and acceptance, Zacchaeus repents and changes his life direction. He will no longer chase after wealth, but will follow Jesus. All of us make wrong decisions. All of us make wrong choices, like Edmund and Zacchaeus. We all have character faults and flaws, and we often allow these to influence how we interact with people and the decisions we make. But the good news is that Jesus is willing and able to forgive us. And we can always come back to Jesus and repent and to change the direction of our lives, to follow Him. For the young people at least, like all of us, they will trip and stumble in their walk with God. And as we walk with Jesus in our lives, it's important to know that we are not defined by our mistakes, but by the love of Jesus, which takes away our mistakes and the eternal consequences for them. Jesus died for our sinful, foolish decisions and mistakes. But Jesus always offers us another chance. We can choose at any time to return to Him, no matter how far we've wandered away from God. And Jesus will transform our lives to help us to become like Him. And so this brings us to Peter. Peter is the eldest sibling, and as that eldest sibling, he's actually a natural leader. His younger siblings just naturally follow what he does. Aslan places on Peter a great responsibility. Although fearful, although inexperienced and without any training to equip him, Peter is to lead Aslan's army into battle against the White Witch and her forces. So when Aslan is killed and therefore unable to lead his army, Peter must step up. And without too much fuss, although having plenty of self-doubt, Peter is willing to lead Aslan's army. You see, Peter believes in the calling Aslan has placed on his life, and he's willing to step out of faith and walk in that calling. And so we looked at King David. He was anointed by God to lead God's people. So when he heard the challenge and the taunts of Goliath, he didn't hesitate to respond. Yahweh is the living God, and he had called David to be the king. So David responds to Goliath, saying, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And then later on, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." It is David's confidence in God and the calling God has placed on his life which gives David the ability to step up and do what would be impossible for him alone. God has placed a calling on all of our lives. He has a purpose for each one of us to live out. And your specific calling and purpose is just for you. And it is knowing the calling of God in your life, and knowing that he has a purpose for you, a purpose for you to fulfill, which gives us the confidence to do what would otherwise be impossible, and to do that which we find scary. For those whom God calls, God equips. We never go alone when God sends us and where God sends us. He goes with us and he goes before us. So are you willing to trust God and step out in faith and do whatever God is asking of you? So there you go. Lucy, Susan, Edmund, and Peter. Four important lessons for Christian living. Will you place your relationship with Jesus at the center of your life? Loving God as much as you can, and loving others as we love ourselves. And will you stand up for what is right and just and fair? Will you give up everything in order to follow Jesus, including those things which are of most importance to you in your life? Will you repent when you sin and return to following Jesus? Will you accept his forgiveness and allow him to change the direction of your life? And finally, will you walk in the calling God has placed on your life? Will you trust God and step out in faith? And be willing to do that which you know you can't do in your own strength and ability. Amen.